The Guide to Your Ride podcast on UpstateSnow.com is presented by the Southern Tug Hill Snow Riders of Lewis County, New York, and by Mapledale Motors of Barneveld, New York. Visit RideTugHill.com and MapledaleMotors.com. We recorded this podcast live while doing Facebook Live weather with Chris Rank on Wednesday night, the 15th of January, 2020, during the 10 o'clock hour around 10:30 p.m. And what you're going to hear on this podcast for the next 17 minutes is the audio taken straight from that live, which you can download to your device or just listen through the browser. Thanks for listening to this Guide to Your Ride podcast, which you can find every Wednesday here on UpstateSnow.com during the season, and also more episodes of the Trail Talk podcast will be coming up soon as we get them recorded and produced here at UpstateSnow.com. Thank you for your support of our site, and thank you for the support of clubs and snowmobiling and responsible riding across upstate New York. Here's the podcast. So with the snow that's going to be falling on Thursday, we're predicting 3 to 7. When we get to Friday, do people trailer up there and ride? Do they, or do they not? And if so, why?
So just to recap, we got absolutely wiped out. There wasn't one club, one area that survived the weekend thaw between Friday to Sunday. The rain, the warm wiped us out. What we did find out this week after some trail inspections and speaking with some clubs to the north, Turn and also Valley, is the wooded sections of the seasonal roads between High Market and Montague held pretty good. We have anywhere from 2 to 6 inches of an icy, icy base left. The open areas of seasonal roads or some meadows up there are wiped out just like everything else. So 3 to 7 inches is not going to put us back into riding or any type of quality riding. It's not going to allow us to move our groomers. But what I'll tell people is people that have the weekend planned and have the reservations at the edge of the Timberview or the Ridgeview or Montague or wherever they're coming, I would say go up, support the establishments, check out what club events might be going on. I know at Southern Tug, we have our monthly meeting at the milk plant at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Come down, meet us folks, grab a breakfast sandwich. I know that there's some fundraisers going on out there, and wait for that snow to come in by, and you guys are going to update us, but by Saturday afternoon, we could have hopefully anywhere from 6 to 12 inches of snow. Obviously, if it's snowing heavy, it's going to be tough to see. There's not going to be much grooming going on, but you're going to want to be there for mid to late morning on Sunday for some nice riding conditions and on into Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I can certainly vouch for the breakfast sandwiches, having been to a meeting previously. Those breakfast sandwiches are awesome. You might want to make an extra few, depending. So we've got a couple things on here. Let me just make sure we don't have any questions here. It doesn't not appear as though we have any questions at this point. We have about 70 people on live right now, which is amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible. 70 people watching us at 10:30 at night.
All right. Yeah. So if anyone has any questions for Chris Rank, president of the Southern Tug Hill Snow Riders, you can type them in on the Facebook Live. Zach will be looking at the feed. We may not catch it right away, but have patience. We'll read them off, and hopefully we will be able to answer them for you live on Facebook. So we're going to get a little bit of snow tomorrow, and then a little bit of lake effect after that, and possibly lingering into Friday morning, then the break, then more snow on Saturday. So as we head into Sunday and Monday, assuming we get close to a foot, or at least 6, 8, 9 inches between the two events on the conservative end, maybe a foot or more if we get lucky, and especially if we get the winds pointing off of Lake Ontario towards STH, TRR, Osceola, and some of the clubs around Southern Lewis and Northern Oneida counties. What happens at that point, and for those coming up at the MLK weekend, what would you suggest for them?
We're going to have to wait and see what kind of snowfall, happens. I mean, and typically a foot on top of our areas that are the normal playgrounds on top of what minimal base or base we have left is going to create some decent riding conditions Sunday and into early next week, which will be great. But all of our wooded areas and all of our trails that are, off the hill, West Lydon, Constableville, Swankett Mills, heading over to 46 Corners, there's nothing left. It's wet still. This deep freeze coming in the next 2 days is going to help us kind of set some things up. And I hate to say it, it's going to be a foot or a foot and a half. It puts us back in the game, but it's probably not going to really shape up until Monday, Tuesday.
So you need that foot to foot and a half to be able to actually roll the groomers and roll the groomers and at least pan the trails, correct?
Yeah, I would say 8 inches at least in high market to get us going back on the seasonal roads in the area that we have some base left. I think that's kind of the number that Turin's using as well in some conversations with them. But everywhere else where there's nothing left, we need that 12 to 16 to get going. And I think someone just popped up a question, Philip Secret, you know, how much snow? And there's your answer. I would say anywhere between 8 to 16 is going to what we need.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we look ahead with the fact that we're looking at colder than normal temperatures, more chances for snow as things begin to freeze on down, the thing that I'm thinking is that we have to remember in our heads that even though winter may return and by the end of January, it may look and feel like the end of January, the fact is that conditions might be more like early to mid-December at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, no, you're correct. And I'll let everybody know, and I've said this before in prior podcasts, is one of our club members put up a message to me earlier this week, or the information got back to me, but going back the last 2 years, so this will be your third year, the exact same dates, January 12th, January 13th, we were posting that all trails were closed, no grooming, nothing to report, we have nothing. So these dates and kind of a mid-January thaw has become normal. And I've said before that the snow will come, we will get grooming, we will get back to our good conditions. So I truly believe that this is probably the start to our winter that we've become accustomed to. So we're going to get going. It's going to be cold, and I can kind of see a trend, which you're going to paint the picture of, that's going to keep us cold and hopefully a couple more lake effect storms. And we're right back into that beautiful riding by the end of January.
Absolutely. And as I'll show you on the weather end in a little bit, when we take a look at some of the extended, and we'll take a look, this will be my first look at the new models that are coming down. We'll be looking at them together, and I'll be kind of analyzing them live on the fly here in just a few minutes. But from the previous runs that I had a chance to take a look at, definitely a Northwest flow coming out of Canada, definitely a Clipper Lake Effect type situation. Obviously, people are looking for the big hit of the heavy wet snow from the nor'easters. We may or may not get that. I don't think the pattern is going to be that favorable for it until probably towards the end of January, maybe into the beginning of February, but at least cold, freezing things down, lake effect Clipper, lake effect Clipper. We add a little bit to the bank each day. We'll eventually have something to work with.
Sounds like a plan to me. As long as there's no more rain and 60 degrees, we'll be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. My goodness. Gosh, I thought we ended up in Myrtle Beach at one point last weekend. Yeah. Or Savannah or something. I mean, it wasn't fun. No, it wasn't fun. And just to put in perspective for those with a little bit of weather history, there have only been two other times in my lifetime here, and I was not here for the one in 2008. The other one was in 1995 when we had a nearly week-long thaw and ended up in the 60s and wiped out what was a decent snowpack at that point in time in the winter of 95. Of course, that's the Wayback Machine. So, our sponsor, Dave Gleesman, Raz and Chris, I have some spare ceiling tiles if you need.
Just kidding.
Thanks for all your hard work.
Hey, that's the problem with home improvement projects. Don't do 90% of the project and then move into your new office space because you'll never finish it.
Well, hey, I'm sure if we tilt up the camera on here, we don't even have ceiling.
Yeah,
tiles.
we don't have ceiling.
We just have the rafters. That's it.
Yeah, we have pretty much exactly what you see there without the ceiling tiles. Just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, how about for people that came up and rode when right before the big thaw and the big wipeout that we had? It was crazy. Conditions went bad because there were literally 43,000 riders,
right?
It felt like that, up on the hill. Is this the point where we tell them that Wednesday and Thursday on Tug Hill is usually not that crazy?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you and yourself and Zach were two of the riders. My father and I were, riding as well. And I will tell you that it seems like people listened to what we were posting. It seems like people, found the snow and kind of stuck to it, which was great. And it was very, very, very busy. Hats off to the clubs that had the snow and that were kicking butt, because there was a very few of them. But to handle that much traffic and to groom and put that many man hours into the trails during the nighttime hours, and the people that rode early, the 7 a.m., the 8 a.m., the 9 a.m. departure people, they had unbelievable conditions, because I was one of them on Wednesday morning. And then it deteriorated because of the new snow that we got, you know, and it was a little bit warm on Wednesday, and it moguled up, and it was what, you know, it happens. It was weekend or holiday weekend traffic on a Wednesday. I will tell you my experience, though, and we told people kind of my plan for the day. I did 195 miles that day, started out in the groomer at 5 a.m., groomed till 8 a.m., had some breakfast in Seville with my father. And then we kind of boogied over to, Little John area, stopped at the gathering place, got up into Winona, and we had Winona to ourselves, for lack of better terms. There was one groomer out there, there was 8 or 12 inches of fresh snow, and there was nobody out there. And then we kind of wandered on back and got back towards, the busiest part of the hill between Montague and Timberview, where we linked up with you guys, enjoyed a nice meal and some conversation. And then we dropped down below to where Turin was grooming. They didn't have as much snow and definitely not as much traffic. And those are some great conditions to finish the day. So hats off to Turin, hats off to Valley, hats off to the guys, you know, from Southern Tug. Osceola did a good job.
Yeah.
And Barnes Corners. And Winona, Pulaski, Boylston was out. We saw them. So and any other clubs that I missed. But I don't really think I missed any clubs, because those were the clubs that had the snow. And they did the best that they could. And they groomed as long as hard as they could for those 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and hats off to the businesses as well. I mean, Timberview called in extra people. When we were at Timberview, they said it was the busiest Wednesday that they ever had.
Yeah.
We were actually surprised how quiet it got during the evening, but people at least took advantage of it during the day. They at least got them some business. I don't think it's going to be enough to offset losing a weekend and then a whole week, afterwards, but at least they had something, and something is better than, than nothing, hopefully we'll be able to make up for it with some good conditions. Squeeze a little bit out of MLK weekend and going beyond that. I have a question for you, which might be of value to some of the people still watching. I'm going to give you this one more question, and then if there's no more questions online, we'll jump into the weather part, and we'll take a look at the extended and the new models together and kind of speculate a little bit. But for those, obviously in the early season, going to club meetings, trail work is obviously a big thing. Like you guys, we helped out with some trail work after the meeting and after those great sandwiches on that sunny October day, which seems, it's not a million miles away. That was actually yesterday. That was this afternoon coming back from Albany when it was sunny and 45. I don't think it was that much warmer back in mid-October. Anyway, I digress. So what are the big things that usually go through a meeting during this time of year, and what are the biggest ways that people can help out getting involved in club meetings during the season and especially towards the end of the season?
This time of year is pretty much update on equipment, update on funding and where we're at, and kind of ideas for growth of the sport, fundraising ideas. Just seeing new faces and supportive faces is really helpful. Like any other volunteer organization, our club is no different than any other one, and there's only about 10 or 12, core people that make it tick. We're fortunate enough where we have probably 20 or 25 active groomer operators that allow us to groom 6 days a week when we do have the weather and the snow. So just having new faces, new ideas are always fresh. We're really, really big right now on the youth involvement kick. The New York State Snowmobile Association is behind this. We've recently teamed up with the Hamburg Snowmobile Club, which is out in the Buffalo area. They have an unbelievable youth program, and between their partnership with NYSA and Brandingham and some Lewis County stuff, we're going to get involved in a youth ride. So check out, we did post that and check that out. So it's pretty neat. Funding, money is always a big deal. I could go on and on about how the funding works, but we're fortunate. We just received 30% of the money that is owed to us. So we're still, it's great that it just came in, because we need it. We need to fill the fuel tanks and things like that. We're also working on a project with the West Leiden Fire Department and trying to figure out ways we can help them with some trail rescue and trail work type stuff that they need. So that's kind of the crux of it. Like I said, getting new volunteers in and getting people that are willing to go out and do the work, willing to get in the groomer barn and fix some things if we can, and then getting new groomer operators trained. I have a list of about a dozen or so people, and the weather just hasn't cooperated for us to allow those new folks to get in the groomers and get trained. So that's all kind of stuff that we'll talk about this Saturday.
Good. And Phil just popped up a question. Why can't there be more grooming during the day? Is it volunteers? Is it traffic? Is it temperature? I'll let you answer that.
Sure thing. The answer is yes to all of it. But most important is traffic and weather conditions. So for optimal grooming, typically the colder, the better, although there is a too cold, believe it or not. So the colder, the better, which is overnight. And then the best way to set up a trail is to groom it flat. As you're grooming, you're actually moving the snow around. You're heating it up. And the word is homogenization. And then you're actually pressing it out underneath that hydraulic pan, that adjustable pan that we have on the back of our drags. And you're hoping to flash freeze it. So that's why you get that little shiny crust of a well-groomed trail right after the groomer goes by. And ideally, that trail, the longer that trail can sit without being disturbed by sleds and skis and skags and spinning tracks and lugs, the more that can set up like a roadway. So when we're grooming from 6 p.m. to 2 or 3 a.m., the most beneficial time is that like 10 p.m. to 2 or 3 a.m. because the trail isn't being disrupted. And there's a significant difference when it can set up all night long. Trail conditions stay better. You'll see good trail conditions past lunchtime many times.
So I guess in a way you can kind of liken it to a divot during golf season. If you replace it right away and if you smooth it out right away and leave it alone, it'll repair just fine like nothing happened. But if you take longer to put it back together and if you're kind of careless with it and, you know, get all kinds of traffic and all kinds of things on it, it's going to be harder for it to hold up.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I've never thought about that one before. Yeah. But it also comes down to safety and, you know, volunteer time. Most of our volunteers work during the day. So obviously they can't go out and groom. They got to get out there at night. And then safety, the lights on the groomers, the amber lights and the white lights and things like that are much more visible at night to riders than they are during the day. And with less traffic means that our operators have to stop less on tight sections of trail. The groomer has the right of way all the time, but at the same time, we often pull over so that sleds can get around. And every time, imagine stopping and starting the groomer and the drag, you know, 10 or 20 times throughout a night. It's if you can limit that to two or three, you're saving yourself time.
Chris Rank, president of the Southern Tug Hill Snow Riders, thank you so much for doing Guide to Your Ride, our podcast live on our Facebook Live tonight on Upstate Snow. Special thanks to the Southern Tug Hill Snow Riders for this Guide to Your Ride podcast. You can find them online at RideTugHill.com. That's RideTugHill.com. They maintain over 60 miles of trails in West Lydon, Constableville, High Market, and Southern Lewis County. Join where you ride, RideTugHill.com.